morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. We have 8 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for winds in effect this afternoon and tonight. We're getting into that meteorological fall weather pattern and that interesting difference between meteorological fall and astronomical fall. Of course, we have the vernal and autumnal equinoxes, which fall during September, which mark astronomical fall. But then there's meteorological fall, and the National Weather Service sort of considers that fall begins in the weather realm on September 1st. And so September, October, and November are the meteorological fall months, and we're in them right now. Today we have north winds 10 to 15 knots, becoming north 10 to 20 knots, gusting to 25 this afternoon. And that's what puts us into that small craft advisory level winds. Wind waves from the north 3 feet high at 5 seconds apart, and west swells 5 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. So if you're walking on the beach today on the ocean, it could be pretty windy out there. And today we're going to talk about plimsoll lines. I came into the station this morning, and one of our volunteers just brought up the topic of plimsoll lines, and I thought, well, let's talk about that today. They're markings on the sides of ships, and they have a lot to say about the stability of ships on the water. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 2 inbounders, 3 in the Astoria anchorage, 3 outbounders, and we also have a couple of other vessels at the port of Astoria that I'll talk about today, too. We have the Amelie arriving this morning from offshore, headed for Kalama. She'll pass Astoria around 6 a.m. You might see her in Kalama by 11 a.m. The Agia Skepi is arriving from offshore, headed for Portland, for the port of Portland, to pick up a cargo of soda ash. She'll pass Astoria around 1 a.m. And actually, looks like maybe 1 a.m. on Wednesday. So she's going to arrive actually technically tomorrow and arrive at the port of Portland around 7 a.m. on Wednesday. In the Astoria anchorage, the Honey Island is headed for Portland to pick up potash. She'll be leaving around 11 p.m. And arriving in Portland around 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. The Cole Pearl is awaiting orders, as is the Global Hero. And so we have some ships at the port of Astoria that I want to talk about. There's a log carrier loading logs there, a bulk carrier. But we also have a couple of other vessels at Pier 1. The Terrapin Island is I believe she's an Army Corps of Engineer contract dredge, but she is a dredge for sure. And that's a very specialized kind of vessel that goes out and moves very slowly. In fact, if you see a dredge out there, it almost looks like they're hovering on the top of the water, which is kind of what they are doing. But what they're doing that you can't see is vacuuming silt and sand off the bottom. They do maintenance dredging to keep the channel open, and sometimes they go in and get spots that need to be cleared. And they're working in a lot of maintenance dredging activities. It's the Army Corps of Engineers keeping the shipping channel open. And then the research vessel Nautilus is back at the port of Astoria. She is that vessel owned by oceanographer Bob Ballard, who you may have seen on TV talking about the Titanic. That's his vessel, and she's operating in the Northeast Pacific right now at the moment. Well, in our outbounders, we have the Belle Plaine leaving Portland. She's a bulk carrier with potash on board, leaving at about 4 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 a.m. The Atlantic Grace is heading out of Kalama around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8 p.m. Not quite sure what's on board there, likely an agricultural cargo of some kind, wheat, corn, maybe soybeans. The Morning Cornelia is leaving Portland. She's a car carrier with Hyundais on board, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. And these car carriers that come to us are on kind of a dedicated run. We have different kinds of ships that come into the river in terms of what's on board. And the car carriers are what we call dedicated ships that are carrying the same kind of cargo for the same company all the time. So these ships do kind of a circular route. The car carriers, they start in Japan, they come up around the Great Circle Route past Alaska. They go to Puget Sound and deliver about a third of their cars there in general. They come south to the Columbia River and deliver about another third, and then they go south again into California to perhaps San Francisco or L.A. to deliver the rest, and then they go back to Japan or Korea, for instance, South Korea, to pick up more cars. Then there are the tramp ships, we call them, which are the ships for hire, like semi-trucks for hire. Their cargoes change all the time, and those are the bulk carriers that you see sitting in the anchorage having their painting their cargo holds and cleaning them out as they're shifting from a mineral to a food cargo. And so those ships change cargoes every time they do a delivery type of cargo. So they're always carrying some sort of bulk item, but it could change from place to place. Let's see, I've told you the marine weather forecast. Let's talk about plimsoll lines. Very interesting. On the side of every merchant ship is a set of lines. One of them looks like a circle with a line through it with some letters. And next to that is kind of a straight line with some bars coming off it with letters next to it, like TF, F, T, S, W. Those are on the side of every ship, and you've seen some artists have painted them. They're actually quite fascinating. What are they about? Well, they're called the plimsoll line. It's a reference mark that is located on a ship's hull that indicates the maximum depth to which the ship can be safely loaded when loading with cargo. Now, this depth varies with the ship's dimensions, with the type of cargo, with the time of year, and the water densities encountered in port and at sea. So the letters alongside this sort of vertical tree on the side of the ship indicate things like TF, tropical fresh water, T, tropical water, F, fresh water, S, summer, W, winter. Winter North Atlantic is WNA. And then there are letters around that circle I mentioned that indicate the registration authority for the ship. And AB, in this case, on the graphic that I have that I got off the internet, is the American Bureau of Shipping. So what you'll see is a ship that is in tropical fresh water will load to one level. A ship that is in tropical salt water will load to a different level. In the winter, levels are different as well because the water is colder and more dense. So at any rate, why are these markings on the sides of ships? Well, it goes back to a man named Samuel Plimsoll, who was a member of British Parliament in the 1800s. And he was concerned about something that was happening then in the merchant marine, which was tremendous loss of ships and crews due to vessel overloading. Now, why is that a problem? If you overload a vessel with cargo, just like if you put too many people in it, it will sit too low in the water and be unresponsive to the weather that's around it in the sense that it'll be sluggish to respond. That can make a vessel prone to foundering and to flipping over and sinking, and that was what was happening to a lot of vessels. So in 1876, Samuel Plimsoll persuaded Parliament to pass the Unseaworthy Ships Bill, which mandated marking a ship's sides with a line that would disappear below the waterline if the ship was overloaded, so you could easily tell if the ship was being overloaded. So this is called the Plimsoll Mark or the Plimsoll Line. It's on vessels everywhere. It's on the vessels that are out in the Astoria Anchorage. If you take a pair of binoculars and look at them, you will see the plimsoll line, and it has saved many lives. And it also brings up the whole concept of cargo as a stabilizing influence on a ship. Just the right amount of cargo keeps a ship safe at sea. Not enough can make it unstable, which is why we have ballast water, and too much can make it unstable as well. So it's a delicate balance there. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. You can find a podcast of this program on my website at shipreport.net. Thanks for listening to The Ship Report. Have a great day.